Heyo, back with a Marler Monday on a Tuesday. I totally forgot that we were doing this. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, thanks. That hurt here out loud. I was hoping you weren't going to re-say it a second time. That's cool. I'm great.
I was balls deep in Georgia depth charts. We're bringing back our fall camp preview series, and
yeah,
we got Georgia tonight, so it's kind of like an all day affair getting this ready for these shows. So it had all to do with that, none to do with not wanting you on the show.
Well, I've been schnall deep in college baseball, baby, fired up.
Is that more enjoyable than Soresby court cases?
Would you like to start there?
Oh, of course.
Oh, man. What did you think about it?
I mean, honestly, it's funny because I've seen all these people, all these tech people, and they're like, you all are out to get us. You yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't even think about them. So I don't know where they're getting this at. And again, is it the worst crime? I could see all sides of it, but I was thinking about this today. At what point will a fan base, where's that breaking point to where they'll stop defending someone? You know what I mean? Like we've seen Jameis Winston. I don't want to say what he allegedly did and they defended that. But I mean, if a star player murdered somebody, would we defend him?
I mean, one, I feel like I'm on a delay and I don't know why. Oh, I'm out of focus. Let's fucking go. So, you know, I remember when the Brandon Miller thing happened, there was like a lot of conversation around that where it was like, I saw.
Oh, yeah. Bama's had some murders. Never mind. I'm kidding.
No, but I do think that it's a good question. And I only start by saying this, I'm prefacing this because I know that sometimes people get very, very upset about fucking everything. There's a documentary that came out in like 2016 called Happy Valley. And it was about like the horrible atrocities that happened at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky. And the way they did it was like this really incredible, like juxtaposition during the movie of like, okay, here is Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. Here's the fans. Here's they've grown up with this. It's their favorite thing. Just like your favorite thing is college football. And mine is Berto's mom. And then also college football. And so you're like, okay, this has been my favorite thing since I was a kid. I love it. I don't want to lose it. But also this is all pretty bad. But please don't take away my favorite thing. And then they would go to the victims. Like they would leave that frame and talk about how great Penn State has been for the community and all this stuff. Then they would go to the victims. And it was like this horrible, horrible stuff. And you're like, man, I understand where they're coming from. Like, I understand, like, hey, I don't want to lose 4 years of football because my favorite team is my favorite team. But, you know, at the same time, like, someone has to be punished. I'm not saying any of it was right or wrong. It was just fascinating to watch the way that they talked about it. Like, you know, because there were so many parts of the story. Ultimately, they got to keep their program, and I never thought they should have. But anyway. The Texas Tech thing is so stupid because it's like so blatantly obvious that it's wrong. And they're like, I haven't seen a bunch of them being like, they're in the right. Like that, it's just been like, whew, we're going to have our quarterback. The other part of it that I thought was weird though, was all the people that are like, blame the NCAA. And then the Cody Campbell part of it, that part was where we crossed over the line of, hey, this is fun offseason stuff. This is crazy. You know, yet another rock bottom or new low. It feels like that college sports has reached. It feels like it can't get any worse. Then he's like, oh, hey, Grok. First off, if you're using fucking Grok as your AI source, that's so stupid. How many Georgia players have been arrested in the last year? And you're like, man, that is like, that's a new low that I thought. And this is not just a voice for Texas Tech. It's not just like, it's one of their biggest parts of the blueprint of how they've built this entire thing. And he's going to war with people on Twitter about this, which, like, that part I'm not judging. I'm not even judging Soresby for the 3 a.m. fucking table tennis bets. Been there, brother. Been there. Tuesday, you got to pay your bookie. Monday night, yeah, you might be up at 2 a.m. trying to figure out some ATP tennis happening over in Taiwan. I get it. But, like, for him to say that, and then it hit me today what the biggest glaring difference is between those things. One, bring up Georgia and the arrest. It's a definite problem, but that is the most like deflection off of my own like inability to have accountability possible. Like both things can be bad, guys. Right? Like this is not one of the situations where it's like, hey, do you like pancakes? You're like, why do you hate waffles? Like that's so stupid. The other part of this though, when you talk about like Georgia has had a really big issue with reckless driving, we've all come down on it. I don't think there's anybody at Georgia that's like, dude, it's not even a big deal. Everyone thinks that's a big deal. The difference is those are in the news because the players get arrested. That's the consequence. And so to sit here and say that this thing about Georgia and comparing it like this and that, it's more than just Cody Campbell saying it, but to have that be the comparison, the biggest difference is those guys went to jail. Zachariah Branch almost had his fucking NFL future messed up because he was arrested after the spring game because he was blocking the sidewalk at 1:15 a.m. Little old Zachariah Branch at like 5'10", 170 pounds, blocking the sidewalk, and it was a $39 bond. That guy went to jail. Brendan Sorsby went to rehab for 35 days to learn how to not click a fucking button in the FanDuel app. And then it's all of a sudden like, oh, by the way, I am reformed. Everything's great. Please let me play this year. And then the worst part too, Mike, is the idea that like the verbiage in it, the way they've written it out, I understand where the judge is coming from in terms of like, well, it is going to be detrimental and have irreparable harm to his future if he doesn't play. Of course it is. If you lose $5,000 or $5 million, that's a lot of money. Like, of course it's going to be like irreparable harm. He probably has never had $5 million before. Definitely didn't fucking win it on DraftKings. But the part that's missing is the irreparable harm is what you did to yourself. Like you did that to yourself. Like that part to me, the fact that that's lost on everybody, those are consequences of your own fucking actions. And if we want to get real annoyed with it, Texas fans don't like me right now because they're sensitive and I made factual observations about their baseball team. But let's go back to a week ago when I had to defend Texas and this whole scheduling thing. If you can't win on that schedule without Brendan Sorsby, fuck off, dude. Like, I mean, like on top of all the other stuff, it's just like they're making up the rules as they go and it's ruining the sport. And I tell you another part too, that's really frustrating, Mike, is I'm not saying it would be better or it'd be right if it was Ohio State or Notre Dame or Alabama that we were just, yeah, whatever you want to fucking do, whatever you want to do. But the fact that it's like this new blood, not a blue blood, that's kicked the door in of like what they can achieve in the NIL era because they're just throwing money at everything, that somehow in my mind also makes it even worse. Like not by much because it's already so fucking bad, but it makes it even worse.
Hey, shout out Mizzou fan. Appreciate you for the donation. Welcome to the Wild, Wild West. Trying to figure out who's Mizzou's judges is. Feels like it's a rite of passage for these powerhouses to sue for an injunction. Mizzou will have to figure this out after the season when we make the college football playoff. Is Mizzou making the playoff, Marler?
No, they are not. I wish they would. It'd be awesome.
Then they can bring back Drew Locke for another season.
Dude, well, so here's, and listen, if like this kind of went through my mind yesterday, and it's probably not worth repeating, but I'll do it because you have an hour to fill on this fucking show. You know, let's not forget that Mizzou, thank you. I appreciate that, Tybalt. Thanks for reading it, man. Remember when Mizzou got in trouble because they were being fucking blackmailed and like extorted for $5,000 from a tutor? Remember this? Yeah. Like in 2018, she was like, she's like, no, I helped him do homework and took a test for him. And it was like, we didn't know that. We'll happily report it. And they were like, she was like, no, I want $5,000. And they're like, you're bad at negotiating for one. Two, if you're going to do that, like we'll just self-report it to the NCAA. Like, hey, NCAA, we're so sorry. We just got word. We're being blackmailed by this crazy bitch in fucking Columbia over here. And she said, hey, if you don't give me $5,000, I'm going to report you. There's like four football players that it happened with. But we're just doing the right thing and we're self-reporting it. Everything's good now. We made sure everyone's been punished and she's been fired and we're making sure it won't happen again. And they were like, oh, bull man, no way. And like, and so there's so many of these different.
And that's back when bowls meant something.
Yeah. Yeah. The Meineke Carquest Bowl was fucking lit that year. but I think it's one of those things where it's like, we've gotten so far past the point of like logic and reason that it's like, I don't know what we're doing anymore. And the Sorsby thing, here's the thing. It's not that it's egregious and stupid, and like the injunction part of it is so like you're just so far outside of the rules, right? Like you're so far out of the fucking metaphorical baseline on this one that it's like, what are we doing? It's the fact that it's ruining the sport. It's ruining the sport. We had a moment in this offseason where the thing that happened with Joey Aguilar could have been a really good step in the right direction. And now if you're looking at Tennessee, you're like, man, y'all should have just fucking done, you should have brought Peyton back. Like, I mean, like, this is, it's crazy that you're sitting here saying at this point that that didn't do anything to swing the pendulum back in favor of logic and reason. It was just yet another, I would call it almost a missed opportunity at this point, because it's just somehow like you thought Aguilar or you thought that the Trinidad Chambliss thing was bad, or you thought some of these other things were stupid. Like, this is so much worse. He was betting on his own team. He was betting the unders.
I was about to say.
Betting the under. What a fucking asshole to bet. If you're betting an under in general, that is a miserable way to gamble. Like that's maybe it's a great play. I don't fucking know. But that is, and again, like all jokes aside, one of the reasons that's so fucking stupid is his excuse was, well, I was trying to bond with my teammates. So I don't, it's hard to make friends in Bloomington, Indiana. Like, no one really likes me on the team. Like, you fucking loser. You're betting $25 on the under of your own team? God damn.
Yeah, that's true. That is factual. So he was betting the unders on prop bets on his team, which, you know, again, that should ban him. I was not aware of this. Do you recall? I don't remember specifically when this was, but I think it was about 6 months ago. Around that time, the NCAA came out and said they're going to let their athletes legally gamble. And then a lot of the schools, I mean, basically all of them, but they came out and said, well, we can't have this. We can't have athletes gambling. And they were going to allow them to gamble on NFL, not college football, right, of course. But they were going to let them gamble in other sports. And so many, there was such a... an outroar. I don't even know if that's a word, but there was so much, anger for that the NCAA had to do away with that. And one of the leaders of that, do you have any idea which school kind of led the charge on banning gambling?
Indiana.
Texas Tech.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, it's just,
they led the charge against players being able to bet on NFL. Now they got this quarterback. Now it's okay. So,
what's also happened from this that makes no sense to me is that, like, this – oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, shut up. I didn't read the second part. wait, I want a signed edition from Steve from Athlon. Even though I make fun of his hair, I would love that. So what's also so frustrating about this is, like, it is – I'll get real tinfoil hat on this too, but I don't think it's very wrong, shocking, since I'm saying it. I think we've been conditioned so badly in our society now to where it's like you're unable to have actual discourse or like a conversation about, you know, differing in opinions. And so one of the weird things that's like politics are the best example of that. Like you can find echo chambers of what you want to agree with. And I don't give a shit who you vote for. I think it's not like we're given 40 candidates, dude. We're given two, and they're basically the same fucking person. They're just old as fuck. Like, I mean, I don't, you know, so it's like, I don't care who you vote for. I don't think it's ever should have mattered. But as a society, it's really, really big and pitting people against each other. But it's also, I don't know, like, what's almost worse is you can't really have any discourse of, oh, okay, I see your point. I don't agree, but that's fine. Whatever. Like, you're probably still an okay person. Moving on. Now, the way that everything is argued, whether it be on social media or front, like, keep in mind, that may sound dumb because it's from social media, but in the Trinidad Chambliss case, they were bringing up fake tweets that were like AI generated or wrong information, like about Carson Beck not taking classes in the court case. Like, so all this stuff does seep into other parts of our lives. And so when you're having these conversations about, hey, how do we fix this? And the immediate response is, well, how many players in Georgia were arrested? You're like, what? Like, that has nothing to do with anything. It's frustrating to watch the deflection. It's frustrating to watch him kind of like move the goalposts of what's right or wrong. And the bottom line is, dude, you bet. There's like so little rules now. Like that's another part, Mike. There's so few fucking rules. There's like maybe three. One of them's don't gamble on your fucking team, idiot. And he was like, yeah, but come on. How else am I going to lose $90,000? Like, you fucking idiot. Like, what are we doing? So just don't do that. And of course he did. And I think the sad part is it's so bad that we can't just have disagreements or can't have logic and reason prevail. But the idea that a kid who's already been shown the red carpet as a recruit, who's already been given like all these incredible advantages in life because of his physical talents and God-given abilities, the fact that this kid is now going to learn, hey, by the way, there aren't consequences to my own actions. That part is infuriating.
It is. And damn it, I lost where I was going with that. But
that from Seattle.
I think it's crazy. Oh, here's where I was thinking. I don't know if you're aware of this, Chris, but apparently, because gambling is illegal in the state of Texas, which he now resides, mm-hmm. he was providing money to other people to gamble on his behalf.
I've done that
in other states, which is highly illegal. I mean, I mean, he might start the season in jail. I mean, how come that's not being discussed? And I'm not talking $100. I'm talking it's allegedly thousands of dollars he did.
Yeah. I mean, so in my mind, I don't think that should be illegal. I think it's like, you know, I think gambling should be legal everywhere. I don't really, but like again, you can't.
Right.
Gambling
but should it be? Slope. Yeah. But should maybe if you want to, I know you, if should cocaine be legal for use? Yes. But that doesn't make it to where it's not illegal for you to have all that cocaine you have in your closet.
I don't even like cocaine. Everyone knows that. Everyone who knows me knows I don't like cocaine. Don't clip that and do not post that anywhere, idiot. So, okay, wire fraud. That does seem real. I mean, like, I this is, again, for me, there's parts of this story that I felt like were gotcha moments for the people writing it. Like, whether it be Pete Nakos or Pete Thamel or like, really good journalists that are probably straight-laced and not like me. So, like, when they were like, he was betting on table tennis at 3 a.m. He was betting on Algerian soccer, Albanian soccer. And I was like, yeah, dude. My only response to that was, oh, this man was up late. Like, my man was up late betting. And maybe there was a reason why he was not tired. Who knows? But also the thing about, like, if you were going to do this, there's ways around this where it's like, buddy, give your friend 50 grand. Tell him to go place all the bets that you want. I don't give a shit. There's smarter ways to go about it. But they, and now they're saying too that Cincinnati knew about it as early as of August in 2025 and didn't do anything to let him play. And that's another part too. Texas Tech clearly didn't do their due diligence on it or is operating from a part of, you know what? Like, this is, there you go. Yeah, I know. Looking pretty good, huh? Your boy is
them guns. Speaking of the Red Raider,
see, what does that mean?
Don't they shoot guns and stuff?
Oh, I took that a different way. But no, I think with the gambling part of it, there was never a part of it that I was like, oh man, that's horrible. I'm going to judge him for being a degenerate. Like, I don't care about that as much. But it's something against the rules. Again, like I'm not a fan of cocaine. If you made it legal, that's fine, whatever, I don't care. I think weed should be legal. I think there's other things that should probably be legal that are less bad than alcohol. I don't know, but like, I'm not gonna judge you for that. But if it's the law, you can't fucking do it. And if this is the rules, again, there's three rules you violated, like 33% of them, man. It's so simple. And this kid could not just fucking get out of his own way. And again, that speaks to not just an addiction, Mike. Like I am not going to sit here and shit on someone for addiction, but that does not speak to only addiction. That speaks to entitlement, and that speaks to him not understanding there are consequences to his actions. If you're an addict, any addict will tell you have to hit fucking rock bottom before you're going to get better. Like you have got to get to a point where you're like, oh my God, if I don't stop doing this, it is going to ruin my fucking life. And for this guy, how many get out of jail free cards do you get? You were spending $90,000 in betting, and then you got a $5 million signing bonus to go to Texas Tech. Awesome. And I guarantee you the excitement that went through his body on knowing how much more he would be able to place in bets was very, very palpable and very, 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 very real. The frustrating is Shane here. The yep. frustrating part is that's a weird addition.
Addiction.
There's the frustrating part about this is that like you've allowed this kid's addiction to like kind of be in the shadows of his own entitlement. Because, and listen, we're in a country where it's not like white collar crimes have ever, you know, like millionaires get away with white collar crimes all the time. This shouldn't be a surprise, but this is crazy that anyone allowed this to happen. Like there's no adult in the room that was like, oh man, this is really bad for football. This is not like, there's so few things that if you were trying to justify this, that it could have been justifiable to allow this to happen. Like there's, and dude, by the way, you're a judge. Your whole job is to fucking make decisions for the betterment of society. That's insane.
Where do you...
That is not real, by the way. The tone deaf or the bet on yourself thing, it was very funny, but it was not real.
Oh, okay. Where are the administrators and university presidents in all this? Where, I realize the importance of sports and all that, but
Rex at some Saint point... Charles. Rex St. Charles, Mike, we got to get back to this at some point. Keep going.
At some point, the people that run these universities have to step up.
Yeah.
And I get it. They'll be unpopular for the time, right? But for all we know, they have other quarterbacks, right? And they've got so much thrown into that roster, they could likely make the playoff even without this guy, I would think. I don't know if they can win a national championship. But basically, my point is, do you have to sell your soul to try to win it all? I mean, if that's what you're doing... What is the value in actually getting that prize?
You know, I think it's weird too. If like, that's a really good question. I think there's nothing that you can say that makes this like we're doing for the betterment of him. We're doing it for the like we're trying to make sure where's he gonna go? I don't know, and I don't care. He fucked up. Maybe he will be able to find a way to get to the NFL. Like maybe he can do what a lot of people that become celebrities do in this country and get a fucking reality show or make a joke out of yourself and get a fucking sponsorship with DraftKings and then go to the supplemental NFL draft. I don't know. But like what you've done is breaking the rules. And you're right. The fact that the adults in the room, because that's like the biggest problem here is like the adults in the room are not doing their part to make things better. And I don't know how you justify this. Like, I'm pretty fucking fired up. I feel like I don't know how you justify this to say it's for the betterment of anyone but your school. And if that is what we're basing this off of, that's a sad day in college athletics. That's a really sad day in college athletics because I don't, if it's a tampering thing, sure. Oh, this fucking guy. Oh my God. What does that mean? You can't just say stuff that has no fucking bearing or like substance to it. I mean, you've based, I do. I mean, don't like openly talk shit about my peers and coworkers and then be like, hey, you want to come on my show? No, I don't. I don't want to fucking do that. Anyway, but no, I think that the thing that's so sad about this whole thing is that like, he's not going to learn any lessons. It is really bad for the sport. Like, it's really bad. Like, the precedent that it sets is really bad for the sport.
Do you have any thoughts on Georgia and others saying they're not going to play Texas Tech in any sport?
I think that's probably for the best. I don't know if it, like, I don't know if it fixes the problem this year. I don't know if it does that, but I do think it's like also one of these things where, first off, their football team's not going out of their way to fucking schedule any of that. Like right. Their football team is not going out of their way to schedule these things. So I don't see any of that from being like I don't see that being a long time problem. Anyway, so that part is whatever. I hope that there's at some point there's got to be a retaliation to some of this somehow. Like there has to be a retaliation. So it's a step in the right direction. I think it should be full on conferences that go through with this. But again, I don't know if it matters. And here's the other part too. Then you take the next step further, Mike. It's like, well, they're already not trying to schedule anybody difficult in football so they can make the college football playoff, right? So if you don't play, if they don't play anybody worth the shit because they're taking a stand for someone to do the right thing, the next iteration of that is, okay, well, if the CFP is like, if this kid plays, is the CFP going to let him in the college football playoff? Like, are they, is Texas Tech going to be in the college football playoff?
Well, Matt Hayes is reporting that they could potentially block him, which would be kind of like, hilarious.
Would they do it? Because no correct, mature adult decision has been made up until this point. Right. Like the NCAA was like, you're ineligible. Seems pretty fucking shut, you know, open shut case here. And he was like, but wait a second. I had to go to 35 days of rehab. And you're like, that's dude. Just like, what? So I don't know, man. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know what they're supposed to do. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think Josh Brooks has done an incredible job as the AD at Georgia. They don't shy away from competition in any of their sports. I think that they have become a pariah. And until Texas Tech just learns how to fucking self-regulate their own stuff, there's no reason for anyone to try and play in the same sandbox as them.
No, that makes sense, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is one where, is it any chance that there's so much bad publicity that they'll reverse course here? Or will Texas Tech just dig in?
I mean, they should. But they haven't shown that yet. I mean, granted, it did happen yesterday, right? Like
right.
When you saw the news, did part of you just think like, that's not real? Surely that's not real. And then the NCAA has a chance to appeal it, but the injunction is until 2 weeks after the season,
right?
And how did they settle on two games?
Well, I think that is something that his attorneys. They threw out there.
How brave.
Which I have heard the two games may not even be suspended. Because that's just what they were offering it. Now the NCAA can't block him. So I don't even think they have to honor that.
Yeah, and then it also sucks because like it does show it's like the NCAA is like the dad who's like, I'm going to get milk. I'll be back. Dalton, I don't know what your fucking deal is. I don't have a kid, for one. I might eat off your wife's plate. But anyway, I don't know. It's like they went to go get cigarettes or milk, and they just fucking never came back. And then all of a sudden, now they're back, and they're trying to be dad again. And you're like, I've never been pro NCAA in mostly anything. Your entire existence as a volunteer organization, remind you, a volunteer organization is to do stuff for the betterment of student athletes, and that's it. Like the betterment of student athletes, and we've seen time and time again that they don't do that. But they're absolutely right in this scenario, and I don't understand like where is the power coming from? Like I don't know. Like, is this thing so ungovernable and so lost that like they don't have the ability to govern themselves because they're not going to police themselves at Texas Tech. The people that should be in charge aren't. I don't know what you do. I just don't know what you do there.
Well, I mean, and this is just an assumption, but I think it's a safe assumption that this is at the behest of their super booster, right? Cody Campbell, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Who I was even unaware of this. Guys, I don't really follow politics much at all, but you know, I mean, Feinbaum's blasting it all over the air that Cruz is going to run for president, and Cody Campbell is his one of his biggest benefactors, essentially. So, of course, this is all tied into that, all that, you know.
Like, I mean, he's one of the biggest sponsors to his candidacy, I think, at least in Texas. I would imagine that won't change, which is just even more corrupt. But again, at some point, I mean, Ted Cruz isn't going to be the fucking president of this country, right? Like, I don't. I mean, that's not going to happen.
And the only reason I bring that up because they try to put out, they're pushing this bill, right, to save college athletics or whatever the hell they're calling it,
right?
And I didn't realize that it just kind of reads like whatever Cody Campbell wants it to read like.
Right.
And that leads into, I had to ask you about Nick Saban up there bending over and doing the bidding of others, essentially Cody Campbell, despite the fact Greg Sankey and the SEC is not on the same page. I'm kind of surprised to see Saban up there pushing this bill.
I mean, I think that Saban, I don't know if he read the whole bill. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to get into whether you think Saban is a good guy or bad guy. Would love that. It'd be bad for everybody. but like, again, I think the thing that's so frustrating about this is he goes to talk. He's the greatest coach in the history of the sport. He's asked to speak on the current state of the sport. And everyone with a brain that's listening to what he's saying knows what he's saying is accurate. If you're so upset that you think he cheated, I don't care. Like, get all of it off your chest. Like if you need him to apologize because he gave people Dodge Chargers in the 2010s, fine. Is that going to allow you to fucking shut up and then hear what he's saying? Because you know that this is not a sustainable part of or like sports, an venture for the next however many years. It's not. Him bringing up the NIL thing, it was like $2.7 million to $7 million to $17 million to $24 million, right? Like, that entire thing was an accurate portrayal and representation of just the factual numbers of what Alabama's NIL money is, right? I don't know what he has to do for that to be taken seriously or for, like, the things he's saying to be taken seriously and not met with, I'm so angry that Nick Saban was really good at coaching football and like stacked up all these rosters that I can't take what he's saying seriously. If you need to have another voice like to carry the message, fine. Is it Kurt Cignetti? Maybe that's who it should be. He's younger. He's I mean, not by much. I think, you know, he's like 67 or 63.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
Right. So that whole thing. And again, I understand the whole thing about, you know what? Like, if you think that he cheated or whatever, then show some fucking proof. Like, I mean, at some point, like, if you are so incapable of hearing him make valid points to what you know is a non-sustainable part of this sport over the next couple of years, you know it is. Like, you know that they cannot continue to go down this road and pay all these millions of dollars. And like LSU, like, I don't know if LSU is going to be able to do this whole type of revamp every single year. Texas Tech will. Texas, Texas A&M, Oregon, those schools will be fine. But you're going to price out all these other programs in the sport and in these other sports because they're not going to be able to go build a $40 million roster every single year. No, like, people can't – like, programs can't do that. There's only so many times you can pass the hat around some of these places. So at some point you have to, like – if it's more important for you to get whatever anger off your chest to say that he shouldn't be the right one, I don't care. Whoever you want to voice the message – go voice the message. Like, if it's Kurt Cignetti, who, by the way, said almost the exact same thing Saban said just 2 days prior, before Saban went up there, that's fine. But it doesn't change the fact that there are still so many issues in the sport that need to be fixed. And like, maybe Saban is not the voice for it. Like, maybe it's somebody that's not at ESPN. Maybe it's not somebody that people think have a checkered past. I don't know who it would be. But if you have any common sense, you know that there's a ton of fucking issues they're facing. Also, why get the government involved? Do you think they're going to fix anything?
Well, I just find it to be a huge conflict of interest that Saban is on Alabama's payroll still.
Sure.
And he is...
somebody else to talk about it then.
He is supporting a bill that Alabama does not support.
I just love it. Hold on. Your boy... Tim Skelton just said that I'm not for him. We're in minute 34 of this show, and he's still here. He's also here every week. So love that. Love that, Timmy.
That we call that hate watching.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you're here, Tim.
Hey, what about Coach O at LSU? I haven't got your thoughts on that yet.
Oh, I love it. I think it's a great move. Like, you know, it's awkward. It's awkward, I think, because of just the way that he left. Oh, Tim, Saban's not for you. Well, whatever. I think oh, Jesus Christ. I think that it's an awkward thing. Probably. I'm sure they had to work through it. He's going to have to be, you know, okay with going into that building and then like not going up to his old office. But I think that I've always used him specifically as an example of like when you get someone in a program, no matter what the sport is, if you get somebody in the program that really loves and cares about the program, like really loves and cares about the program, that is a win because they are going to be so passionate to show up for work every single day. It matters to them in the same way that it matters to us and people that are fans that grew up like cheering for certain teams. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. Sorry, Tim, I overreacted towards you. I love you. But reading in context clues are hard. But I think that the fact that you're hiring him to be like an assistant or help with recruiting in state and also recruiting the defensive line, you're paying him $100,000, Mike. And now it's partially hilarious and it's like a microcosm of this day and age of the sport because this guy, fair to me too. This guy just got finished being paid from when he was fired in like December. And now we're 6 months later, he's getting his new contract.
Is he out of money that quickly, you think?
No, I don't think he is at all. But I think the other part of it too, for the hiring like part of it, he's one of the best recruiters we've known in the last 20 something plus years, right? Like he's easily one of the best defensive line coaches. he's easily one of the best defensive line coaches in the country and has been forever. And so in my mind, I'm looking at that and I think just in the next 2 years, it's worth the investment. Like the amount of talent in the state of Louisiana in this cycle for this upcoming 2027 class and then also the next class. I mean, this is one of the deepest recruiting cycles in this state they've ever seen. There's like five players in the top 20 overall. You know, like having those kids grow up in a state where like you have the Saints, but it's pretty much all LSU where everyone that grows up around here knows that, wants to play for it. And you got some guys that are really like potentially program defining players that can come in under Kiffin. And so that part's awesome. But then you just look at the players they currently have on the roster, man. Like Deuce Gerald's is going to be a stud, the former four-star kid from Collins Hill. Richard Anderson, the five-star defensive lineman, Lamar Brown, some of these guys that he's going to be able to coach right away. I mean, they have a chance to put up one of the best defensive line units that we've seen, I think, in the SEC. I mean, the only other one that jumps out only has two players that were remotely close to it. That was the 2019 Auburn team with Derrick Brown and Big Cat. Some of those Bama teams in like the mid-2000s or 2010s, I think that it is a phenomenal hire. And for what you're getting him at, dude, like $100,000?
No, I think it's a steal. I'm just kind of curious because it's so LSU that the fired coach is back already. Will he have any kind of ego, you think? Because he doesn't strike me as a guy that will because of his love for the place.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's so unique because it's so genuine. And that part is palpable. Like that part is like he loves this place so much. And I think that like, dude, it's not he got hired like 3 days later. He's taking recruits out on the field at Tiger Stadium during the recruiting. And he's doing the whole like LSU Tigers going to war thing. I don't care if you grew up like pulling for LSU. If you don't like LSU, like whatever. That was awesome. That was awesome. Who's he talking to?
I think he's talking about Coach O and Kiffin running around.
Actually, I don't have Allie's location right now, so that's not good. That's a good point there, Muscle Hog. No, I do think, again, I think his passion for what is in this state and what he built here and like what he wants to help build here. I'll say this. Him coming on board has much less to do with him wanting to work for Kiffin. Which is not saying he doesn't want to, because I think that it's only made possible because Kiffin's like, hey, we got to get this fucking guy on here. Like, why would we not? But I think it's so much more like fulfilling himself with like, I love this state. I love this school and I want to give as much back to it as possible. And I'll tell you this too, Mike, like the just different stuff is really hokey. It's really, you know, it's cliche and people are going to hate it. And when something goes wrong and they lose, people are going to, you know, use it as memes and all that kind of stuff with Kiffin. But I can tell you that like as somebody that moved here to the state of Louisiana, it is such an incredibly unique, awesome place. And it's hard not to fall in love with it. Now the potholes suck. That's for sure. The governor is crazy as shit and crawfish season's way too short, but I mean, it's so much fun here. And you can just tell he really, really does care about the school and the people of Louisiana. There you go.
Hey, I believe I can blow your mind here. Are you prepared to be blown by me?
Yeah. Okay. What? Is this?
I heard
just,
this.
Is he still in here? Who's? Go ahead. You tell me this.
I could not believe when I heard this. You know, it kind of makes some sense, but let me just say this. And I want to shout out Brad Powers because he's the one I heard it from. So I always like to give credit. But of head coaches that have been active for bare minimum 3 years.
Yeah.
So not, you know, 1 and 2 year coaches, but 3 years or more.
Okay.
Kirby Smart, record against the spread. Do you have any idea where he ranks nationally, record against the spread last 3 years?
Oh, it's bad. I think that I want to say a couple of years ago they were like 2-10.
He's the worst in the country.
Is it really?
Anybody in the country that's been there at least 3 years? What, if anything, does that tell you about Georgia right now?
It tells me way more about Vegas than anything else. Well, between the hedges, thank you so much for being brave enough to tell us you're leaving. That took guts and we love you for it. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'm just going to start popping in to like Wednesday shows. And like, ah!
It also has your name in the headline. Like, I don't know how people are like, Marler's on here. I just put your name. I just put your name in random titles for the SEO hits. You know what?
That'll do it. That'll move the needle for sure. I think it says way more about Vegas. I mean, there's so many times when like the Bama stuff, like that they would be really good, especially late towards when they finally caught up with where Bama was. I think about how many times Bama was an underdog. They won outright. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's Vegas, the whole point of making a line is not to say this team is 7 points better. We confuse that a lot because that's what we want to believe, but it's also because they want to get even action on both sides. Yes, but also he said that he would give 50 subscriptions if I could do a show without cussing. And here's the thing: I know I can do a show without cussing. I do my own show without cussing every day. I go through this world and talk to grownups all the time. I can do that. But are you offering other people a gift for me having to change my behavior? Do you hear how dumb that sounds? I love you, Between the Hedges. And next week, maybe we'll come back and we'll settle on a bet. And if I can do it, you have to tell everyone that you think I'm a smart person and can spell the word Connecticut without a red squiggly line popping up my iPhone. It'll be a lie, but you have to do it. No, I think that the stuff with like the spread, you know who had the best record? You know who had the best record at ATS for his first 2 years as a head coach? I brought up at Media Days.
Sam Pittman.
And I was like, you know, you're 16-6 against the spread. So first off, thank you for making it. And he's like, oh, well, woo pig or whatever it was. It was like, go hogs. I don't think you're trying to get equal money on both sides of the line. I think that Vegas obviously knows what they're doing with that. But I mean, like, Kirby's also the worst person to bet on, Mike. He's the worst person to bet on because he doesn't give a shit about blowing anyone out. It's like I think if Kirby could win every game by 7 to 10 points and have his team do something where they know they fucked up. So for next week, they have to make sure they're focused and not like, you know, like getting too lax or unfocused from week to week. I think he would. So that's a terrible team to bet on. That's a fascinating stat though.
Yeah. And I just think it says so much where the perception of Georgia is obviously still elite as it should be. But I think it clues you in that the depth is not like it once was. And that's not a Georgia fault. That's literally everybody in the country doesn't have this elite depth, but we still see Georgia as one of the elite. So you think they're going to cover, they're going to be favored in every game essentially. But I just thought that was fascinating. And again, I don't think that makes him a bad coach or by any means. No. I mean, no one's saying he's a bad coach or he's regressing, but that is kind of mind blowing.
You know, I think it's also, Thanks, Steve. I spit up my unsweet iced tea when I read that. That's incredible. No, but I agree with you. Like, it's been a problem. You can't hoard all these, you know, five-star recruits and stuff like that. And they've lost some players, like Damon Wilson leaving to go to Mizzou. And now, of course, he's at Miami. Like, some of those things have happened. But for the most part, like, they've lost very little to the portal, and they've brought in even less. I think I did an article about this the other day, which was they have brought in 34 players from the portal in the last 4 years. Now, you don't have to bring in players from the portal if you're not losing a bunch of them, right? Like they are still very, very tapped into high school recruiting and making sure they can get I know, Mr. J Game. I don't know why I said it like that. Sounded Asian in my head. J Game. Anyway, I think that they've brought in 34 total players in the last 4 years. To put that in perspective, I think there was three or four teams in the SEC this year alone that had 34 or more players in this year's portal. I know LSU, Arkansas, I think Auburn, and I want to say there was one more. It might have been Mississippi State or something like that, or OU. Not OU. But either way, so like they're not losing a bunch. So there is still a really good development in place in Athens. It's unlike a lot of other places, but you're right. I mean, like, this is just the nature of where they're at now. Like you cannot keep – you're not going to have a lot of five stars sitting the bench for two seasons, right, like you used to.
You know what's even funnier about this Stephen Up comment? Shout out Stephen Up. He's a legend.
Oh, man.
So we do the call-in shows where they could call in. He calls in all the time. And he is a smooth Southern gentleman that used to be an usher at Legion Field.
Fuck
and
yeah.
that's the guy writing, go get you a dime from
Parler. He is? That's awesome. I love Legion Field, man. Arkadelphia Road. Tim Skelton asked, when you did stand-up, did you not roast other people? Mike, I already told you about the worst heckle that I ever had.
No, tell us.
I used to love when someone heckled me because I had the mic and no one else did. Like, this is not like it wasn't as active as
that's your ultimate fantasy, isn't it?
It's my ultimate fantasy. I'm just sitting there with that mic with two hands and I'm just going to town. And so I remember I was in the show at the Punchline, and it was in the Punchline at the time. This is like 10 years ago. Well, actually, it sounds like 14. Shit. And the Punchline at the time was like this. It was the best room in Atlanta. It filled like 300 people. They had all the big national acts that would go there, and it was much bigger than like the 80s and 90s scene. But it was still like the biggest room, and on a Friday, Saturday night, it would pack out. And so I'm sitting there, I'm doing the show, and I forgot who I was opening for. It might have been Josh Wolf, who was on Chelsea Lately Forever. But it was like,
yeah, he's big.
Yeah, so we're doing this. I'm doing my bit, and it's sold out Friday night show. And I think it's 8 p.m. So it's like people are drinking, but it's not like they're not drunk like a 10 p.m. show yet. And I used to do this joke about how stay-at-home moms, especially in Buckhead, Atlanta, I used to like make fun of them. And I was like, you know, I was telling the story about how I was at Whole Foods. And this woman was like, hey, you know, like, what do you do for a living? And I was like, I'm underachieved. Like, what do you do? And she was like, oh, I have the hardest job in the world. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, fuck off. Like, that is, what do you do all day? You just sit here, you put on your like Lululemon pants, try not to drink before noon or whenever Ellen comes on, wait till the nanny goes picks up the kids, and then just like you're waiting 10 to 15 years before you get like really addicted to Valium. Like what are you doing all day? And I said, stay-at-home moms are like sand dollars. They're pretty to look at, but they're completely fucking useless. And so as I'm saying, and the whole point is to divide the crowd then bring them back. Like it's a joke specifically to do that. And then it does. Everyone's laughing because it's all dudes with wives are stay-at-home moms, and then the women are kind of upset, and there's this one woman in the back that starts booing me, and she goes, she's in the very back, she's going, boo, not funny, not, I was like, what? And she was like, not funny, not true, get, like, you know, blah, 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 boo, and I go, well, it's like, if you had two incomes, you'd probably have better seats, bitch, because she's in the very back of the room, and as I said it, the crowd fucking erupts, and it's like, it was like, bam, got her. Find out after the show, it's the owner's sister. Oh. And I did not perform there for like the next 3 months. It was tough.
That sounds about right. Well, also, speaking of jokes that went poorly for you, let's close on you reading body language of Texas batters. Apparently, everybody in Longhorn Nation was not too thrilled. For anybody that missed it, Marler posted a video of Texas stare down batters.
Multiple and videos. Did you see the one of the guy doing the tongue thing? He's like,
no.
Don't you ever clip that ever. Oh man, this sucks, man. The Brian Turner question here. I think he's probably like a 7.5 to 8. I think he's a very skilled back. I thought South Carolina was going to be in the mix for him. I thought South Carolina had him, to be honest, to go along with that kid they got, the 4-star from Brookwood High School. That's a really good pickup. I honestly also thought it put South Carolina in better position to get him because LSU just landed a running back, like, you know, I think 2 days ago. So that's a really good pickup, in my opinion. Now, the thing about Texas, they're such a good team, Mike. Like, they the way that, like, that lineup, the way that they fucking hunt pitches to go out there and attack the baseball, the way that they're able to, like, to get themselves into good counts, find balls they hit. Like, if they're, like, out ahead or if they are early on something, like on a pitch or like an off-speed pitch that they don't want to hit or they know is going to make, like, a weak out, they'll swing over it, like, or if they don't spit on it. Like, this is – they are really talented at the way that they approach each and every at-bat. They are total assholes every time they get into the box. It's like – it's this whole stare-down thing. It's like – the ball's coming and they're like they're shaking their head at the pitcher like this, it starts at the top. Aiden Robbins is like this. He's a great ball player, but he did.
Is it similar, like, to Tennessee under Tony Vitello?
You remember the pitcher last year for Tennessee who was like, "You're so fucked. You're so fucked." when he like the batter called time. That's kind of like what it is. Like it's like this very like, look at me. And they're good enough to not do it. And I understand this whole, I don't care about bad flips. I don't care about any of that. But if you're coming in, you're doing the whole Juan Soto thing and you're like kicking up dirt at the pitcher as you're walking into the box. First off, there's no fucking dirt on the field. It's a turf field. You look like an idiot. Like if that cleat gets caught, you're going to tear an ACL, brother. And so I just thought it was so stupid. And it was like, I'm not one to clutch pearls about, well, they were bad flipping. And then the funniest part too, Mike, was I posted 3 videos about it. I didn't check today. As of yesterday, it was like 3.2 million views on Twitter between the three. And I was like, man, daddy's going to make some money this month. but then like in the Bama game, a kid got walked and he flipped his bat on the walk and like stared down the pitcher. And I quote tweeted, I was like, when our bat flipping walks like that, all of that sucks. Like all of that is so lame. And Texas fans were like, they saw the video of that happening and immediately were coming to my comments like, oh, but didn't say anything about this. Did you, Vern Funquist? And I'm like, I did 18 hours ago. Thought it was all so stupid. So it's just, you know, that whole thing. I thought it was so weird that they like, if you have to do that to psych yourself up, maybe whatever. Like if you think that gives you a competitive advantage, it just so happened in the videos that I showed, like they, every single one of the batters struck out in the next at bat or the next pitch. It was like, I don't know. I'm not. They're really good. They're a really good team. I think they're going to win the World Series, Mike.
Oh,
I also think
you just
coming
cut
in,
ahead. I was going to say that there's 5 SEC teams in, right? Who's winning it? Texas?
I think so. It's not even just the lineup. Again, the 1 through 6 in that lineup is so talented, and the way they square up baseballs. The kid that kept doing the tongue thing and was doing like you know the egregious shit. And also I understand it's just a small thing to get worked up about. Let's not pretend that I was the only one talking about it on Twitter. They were talking about it on the broadcast and how aggressive that's Kyle Peterson and Chris Blair. Like it wasn't like it was just me. And also I find this to be true a lot in my own mind. Texas fans don't want to hear this, but if your fan base is the only one defending something, usually that means that like, you're probably not in the right, like, everyone else isn't just crazy. So
see Texas Tech and Source B.
Yeah. So it's just and I loved your comment. And this is how funny social media is, because you were like, yeah, man. You were like a hero for Texas like 5 days ago. Like they all loved you. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But I think that going into it, them in Georgia, I think it's a great matchup. I hate that it's the first matchup of it. I think that Georgia's somehow almost underrated still, Mike, because it's like they won the regular season by 2.5 games, 23-7. They went 3-0 in the tournament. I mean, Mississippi State's one of the best lineups in the country, and they went 6-0 against them in 6 games. Those games this weekend were incredible. I worry about their pitching staff being able to go deep enough in games, and I think part of them, like there's like you saw this weekend, Volchko is their Friday night starter, and he goes out and he gives up seven runs in the first game on Saturday, or Saturday. And you're like, well, they're going to leave him out there. And you're like, well, they need to go get him. He's getting shelled. But it's like, they knew that in that park, especially, they're going to score some runs at some point. Like, but when you go out to Omaha, like, that's a much bigger park. The ball doesn't always fly out of there. And I think that's such a big part of Georgia's game that now that like they've traveled a lot. Like, those home runs have traveled a lot this year. They've hit 174 of them. It's not like they only hit them at home. But I think that's a great matchup. I just love Texas pitching better. Bama's weird because I don't trust Bama. They just don't hit the ball well. They hit 253, I think, as a team throughout the regular season, which is, I mean, to do that and be the number seven overall team is very weird. Justin LeBron's coming on at the right time. I do like that. Oklahoma, also another team that, like, I think I jokingly put in my article and I was like, who's the best long shot this weekend? And it was like, I put Tennessee and they lost their first two games. And I was like, it's Oklahoma. LOL. Just kidding. Could you imagine? Because they're so bad. Like, them in Kentucky were so bad. And all of a sudden, Oklahoma's hit, like, I think they hit 74 home runs on the year. They've hit like 17 in the first two rounds. So, Ole Miss is in a good spot, I think, with UNC because UNC is very vulnerable. They don't put up a ton of runs. Ole Miss can. Ole Miss is so. Have you seen Ole Miss? Like,
I've seen none of them. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, Ole Miss is. There's no reason for Pete Golding to tamper. Ole Miss's baseball team is fucking enormous. Like, they are. I mean, just yoked. Like, it's incredible. Oh, and so I think that they could outscore UNC, and if they can get into the driver's seat, they have good enough starting pitching. It'll be interesting to see who they go with. If they go with Hunter Elliott in game one, because he's never lost a postseason game. And also weird, he was on the last World Series team from 2022, and he's back again. But if I had to go through it right now, I do think it's Georgia and Texas are the best two teams. I think Bama should be able to beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is very hot right now. And whoever wins that first game, I think the bigger thing for Texas is, like, if they lose to Georgia, and keep in mind, by the way, Georgia, all those great things I said, which I love them. I think they're a great program and great team this year. They didn't play Oklahoma, Bama, or Texas at any point this year. Like, the three teams that are on their side of the bracket, they didn't play any of them this year. So that part's interesting to me. I think that if you're able to get up on Texas and beat them in game one, which is a very tall task, they have enough pitching depth to come back and get you the next day. Like, the Volantis kid that's going to – if you watch it on Saturday, the lefty they have, that's like a top – that's like a one-of-one type pitcher. He's like 6 foot fucking eight, lefty, hammer curveball. It's disgusting. They have enough pitching to dig themselves out of an early hole if they lose the first game. I don't know if Georgia has that. So,
all right. Well, hey, that's the most baseball breakdown you're ever going to get on this show. We appreciate you, buddy. Before you go, tell the cousins how they can find you, how they can follow all your work on the 19 sites you work for.
Brodo's Mom's House. Be there all night tonight. I'll see you next week, brother.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.